call to order the special meeting of the hearing board for the Monterey Bay Area Resources District for Tuesday, January 30th, 2024. And we'll start with the roll call, please.
Chair Hoog.
Present.
Director Dawkins.
Director Vineyard.
Present.
Thank you. So I'd like to ask if there's any members of the public who would like to speak on items not on the agenda.
Hand is raised on.
Okay, very good. I'll go on to item four, docket 23005. You'd like to introduce it, and then we'll take it from there.
Docket 23005, notification of the order to your abatement against Lovesworth Holdings, Inc., DBA, First Stop and Go,
Thank you. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and go to administrative administration of oath, and I don't see the respondent here. Is the respondent still not here? Okay, so these are people who are expected to provide testimony, and I will read the oath once and then ask you each individually. Do you swear or affirm to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Amy Clamo.
Yes.
Teresa Sewell.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. So at this point, we would have the petitioner report. The petitioner, that's us, and so I'll turn it over to you.
All right, so which is owned by the community, and it's an adaptation of the city of Marina. And we found that this has been in violation of the 203.2 and the Marina Valley Permit because it's one of the signers. The order requires the adaptation to cease operation and come into compliance by putting the fees and fine work. So on January 2nd, Mr. ZB came to our office and requested to modify the to allow more time to make payments. And so that is the request to the subject of today's special meeting. So there have been a few actions that occurred since our board. On October 25th, we received a notification of annual vapor recovery testing for the gas station. And that was scheduled on September 26th. And on November 17th, we received the report showing that staff has been passed the vapor recovery testing. And on December 7th, two of our inspectors went to the gas station and observed vehicles being fueled and the gas station in operation and published more things to the gas station. And then on January 2nd, Mr. VB came to our office and asked us to allow for aims and what was required for the abatement order. He provided us a permit application and a permit application fees of $1,769, which was for and to complete in the seller. And then he requested a payment for a minimum of $6,140. And so on January 5th, since we have not received that, we sent Mr. VB know that the hearing board had authority for the abatement order to submit requests to the hearing board. And on January 5th, we sent the VB letter to summarize the meeting that we had on January 2nd and to remind them to submit a request to the hearing board. And then January 11th, the VB submitted an email to the support board, which was a payment fund. So the gas station has continued to operate since May 2022 and in violation of the abatement order in October. Responding with respect to the modification to the abatement permit to allow 6 months to pay the $6,100 and you can get the amount of the converter issued in October. And I just want to let you know that our rule of reasoning does not allow for partial payments overtime of annual renewal fees. That's why this has not come up before this time.
Okay, thank you for that. Well, ask respondent for the testimony in just a second. I actually have some questions for staff first, if that's okay with everybody. I'm because of the, and it's also Reed, if you're there, I have some questions. So I have a couple questions. Prior order. So our prior order, we had authority over this. We had jurisdiction over the conditional order until April 13th, 2024. And that was in our earlier order. And it appears that there's at least consideration of a modified order that would extend that jurisdiction. And have you reviewed that? And is that how you see that? That we're seeking to extend the jurisdiction to a longer time period?
Yes, I do see the extension of that time period. Can you hear me okay? Just want to be sure.
Yeah, perfect.
Yes.
Yes, I do agree. And I think that's an appropriate approach. It certainly is one that you can take when the other party is agreeable, right? As long as we're extending this and we're allowing them to have an opportunity to come into the good graces, I don't see any reason why they would object. And if both parties are on board with it, then it is an approach that is acceptable.
And you're talking about sort of amicable agreement. I'm kind of curious about the authority basis. So I actually didn't think this through last time in October when we had said in our order that we were maintaining jurisdiction until April of this year. Did that mean it was still with us and it wouldn't have left here for further action by any type of attorney general or district attorney, that it was still retained with us, or was that a final order that could have been acted on? But I'm trying to understand now, what did it mean more precisely when it said we retained jurisdiction initially until April of this year?
My presumption, I'm just reviewing it just to make sure I'm tracking the language with you, and staff could probably chime in to correct me if I'm inaccurate in this, is that that's the timeline that's provided for in the regulations. And so we simply extend our jurisdiction for the period of time to cover that. And that's as long as we have initially set. So as in this case, are we looking at section conditional order for abatement number 3? Is that what you're looking at?
Yeah.
Yes. So the best way I can use to describe this is that you'll see this language very often with the court when they retain jurisdiction after having making maybe an intermediate ruling in a case, right? Parties are ordered and directed to do something. The case isn't dismissed. So you still have the case before you. In this case, you've adopted a conditional order and you've set further hearing, retaining jurisdiction to take further action. You could at some point obviously close and end the hearing and deny or impose a final decision. But until that happens, you do have retaining your jurisdiction. I should note, I think that that language here, that you shall retain jurisdiction until April 13th, is duplicative of what the law provides. It doesn't necessarily need to be there. I think that if it were in there, if it were not in there, you would still have that power because it's provided for in your regulations.
Yeah, I appreciate that, but I'm going to ask for a little further clarification if you're able to give it. One of the ideas of doing a cease and desist is that we have to go through that motion before some other governmental jurisdiction takes further action. Were they precluded from taking that further action until our jurisdiction is over April 13th, or were they, could it have been done as soon as we made this initial order?
I think I actually don't know legally whether or not there's an independent or a preemption argument that MBARD is the exclusive enforcement agency for its regulations. But I would imagine that for purposes of enforcement, MBARD has first bite at its regulations. And that I would note that this type of violation that we're talking about, it does involve other types of laws that other types of agencies have existing jurisdiction over. So because MBARD is retaining jurisdiction over the permitting and the air quality concerns that it has regulatory authority over, I think that would preclude another agency from taking action on that, but it would not preclude a separate enforcement agency from taking up an enforcement case on the other violations that are associated with what's happening.
And I appreciate all that. The reason is I've never seen an order get extended before. I want to sort of understand, first of all, that we're within our bounds to do it, and I'm getting a strong feeling from you that we are. So I have another question, though, about this order for abatement. We had issued an order that said, on or before 30 days from the effective date of this conditional order for abatement. And before I go further than that, was the effective date of the order the date that we held the hearing and or the date that I signed the order, or is it some other date? Like, for example, is it the end of the jurisdictional time period? I can tell you why I'm asking in a minute, but I'll tell you why I'm asking. Maybe it'll help fill in how you answer, which is we held a hearing and we had an order back in October that says within 30 days you'll cease operations, but it says from the effective date, which I would take as the signing date of the order. That's how I've always seen these orders. So since that didn't happen, I mean, I'll look to staff. I mean, this seems like a further violation. That, I mean, our order wasn't complied with. And I'm just wondering, first of all, I want to get from counsel that I'm not misreading the effective date, and that if I'm going to start a discussion for a second about whether or not this order was violated since we issued it, has it been violated if there hasn't been a cease of operations within 30 days of the effective date? Because the question is, was the effective date the day I signed the order?
So I would say the effective date is the date of the decision, the date you sign the order, because that's the date the determination is made to impose the order.
So now, staff, what is your view on the ongoing operations? Because it doesn't seem like we're talking about that since the 30 days from the order.
So because it had that 6-month time period that the hearing board was because under their jurisdiction, that's why we're bringing this to you today, because they are in violation of the abatement order. But Mr. Zibi did come in and present this request that we thought we couldn't respond to because the order says it's under your authority until April.
And are you saying that we hadn't had the hearing? We're still in your this is the kind of thing that you would have suggested.
So I think if it didn't have that under your jurisdiction until April, we would have moved forward with there's a health and safety code that says if you're violating an abatement order, we would bring this case to the Superior Court. So then we'd have to go get counsel and file a case to the Superior Court. Then there's a health and safety code that says violation of abatement orders. That's $25,000 a day in civil penalties. So we would have proceeded with that next step, but we felt because the record showed that the order said until April that we needed to have this meeting today to allow you to take into consideration what this needs to be presented to us.
So any questions? And otherwise I'll go to the respondent.
No, let's go to the response.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Dodger? Yeah, okay. So, Mr. Zibi, I don't know if you would like to speak or make a case, but I will tell you that we have to put you under oath if you are going to speak. So I'm going to give you an oath. We gave oaths earlier before you got here. So do you swear or affirm that all the testimony you're going to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for that. So this is an opportunity for you to speak. We may ask you questions, but I'm not in a position to. It's an opportunity for you to speak if you've got anything you'd like to say.
Between this,
We have to have food to help our friends. So that's what could be in record situations. I cannot. They might recall you because they change the dance of it. And we are working towards to changing another plan so we can get a better time to get out of the situation that we're working towards.
Well, thank you for that. I've also read the written statement. Do you have any questions?
Could you get $60,000 worth of fuel instead of 70? Well, if you said it cost $70,000 when they deliver fuel.
That's $70,000. I don't get that's $70,000 each load.
Each load is that one zero?
No, 30. 31. 31.
30.
31,000.
About 31,000. I thought it was 70. Yeah, so with that, then let me ask the question differently. Can you get $25,000 worth of fuel instead of 31 and give us the six and pay off your debt? You're saying that you're not getting fuel because you have to take your tax, right? And it messes with your tax. Sounds to me like you can't, you do not have a viable business. So you should be paying us cash or paying our bill as well because you're in violation. You've shown multiple times that you promised you were going to do things and you haven't done it. I think you got to pay this bill. That's the thing I have. So.
I didn't say I'm not going to pay. He said, I don't have the cash flow to pay.
I understand. But you've had multiple months to chew this bill on. And so what makes me think that you're going to have the cash flow going forward to pay this?
Well, I'm working to change it. The grant I have now to another one, so I'll get out of the situation. If I get a new grant, to give me tabs instead of cash control.
Thank you. I don't have any more questions.
Do you operate any other gas stations, or is this just the only one?
The only one.
So how long have you had this gas station for? Do you live in this area?
Why is this area?
Like Monterey, right?
No.
Questions.
Thank you. I have a few questions for staff, perhaps. It was also something about the dates, and I'm going back to like the fact set from the October hearing. If I can find the right spot here. On or about December 31st, 2021, MBARD sent an invoice to renew the permit in the amount of $4,094 due within 60 days. This is on agenda. This is on page 43 of the October agenda. So I have a question about some numbers. We, if I recall, we have a new application that's $1,900.
$1,769.
So, and I'm looking now back at this 4094 from that was to renew the permit.
That's a separate fee schedule. So every year, so a per. The $1,769 is a permit application fee. The fees that you're talking about are annual renewal fees. So every person who has a permit pays fees every year to keep their permit active.
And that is $4,094 for this case at that time?
Yes.
And is so when we talk about, so now you have a new application fee, and is that because the too much time went since the last permit was renewed?
To come back into compliance, you have to pay the BAPO fees and apply for your permit.
Okay, and because people can pay late, hopefully, how late does it have to be before it gets into that system? So when you sent this before and it says that it was sent, I thought it says that you sent it in December, but it says they haven't valid permit to operate since May 20th, 2022, right?
So.
But didn't it say that the initial invoicing was done in December? So is that done 5 or 6 months in advance?
Correct.
So your permit expires before the time period that you already prepaid for the prior year?
No.
Yes.
Due in 60 days.
Yes.
You get another with late fees.
What is considered the time period that the annual fee is for?
The future calendar year.
It's a calendar year. So even though it says it was expired May 20th, it had actually, they've been delinquent since the first, at least.
They paid within the first 60 days of the first invoice.
So the May 20th wasn't an expiration of prior payment. It was when the action finally was taken to say that the permit was expired. So since that, so when we have the new application is $1,900, I was concerned because I didn't remember all these details that the $4,000 or whatever that's going into time payments was all, for example, late fees or something like that. But it's in actuality the permit fee.
It's the renewal fees plus the late penalties assessed at 60 days and 90 days. That's what the $6,141
So it's about $2,000 of it is late penalties.
Correct.
And this is for the permit that goes from when to when? The 2023 permit?
December to December. Because the date is in December.
Okay, so let me just, you're talking about for this period we're in right now, this application is going to cover the 2024 calendar year?
Correct.
So what happened to the 2023 calendar year while he was? So we're, you don't bill expired permits, but they were in violation of, yeah, I'm just trying to clarify for the record. So they avoided a $4,000, roughly a $94 2023 annual, separate from fees, late fees and penalties. They've avoided $4,000.
Yes.
And now they're coming back in 2023 and they're paying $1,900 for an application. They're tagged with $4,000 for a 2024 fee and about $2,000 in late application, late penalties and all, which still adds up to less than would have been had they paid for 2023 and 2024 together with no penalty fees. Because part of what I was thinking about is about a forgiveness or a willing to be late on penalties, but it still sounds like this is less costly than that would have been for them even if they complied with it a few dollars here or there, or certainly on a quicker intake, certainly on par. So because there was no, when you talk about non-compliance having $25,000 a day penalty, but that's only if there's an abatement order, is that correct?
That section, yes, that just applies to abatement
orders. So what is the penalty for a person that makes it through a whole calendar year without renewing their permit?
So violation of the air district rules is $10,000 a day. Civil penalty.
Okay. So that's interesting. Please.
Before we get into board discussion and questions, it sounds like, can we ask for public comment?
We certainly can, and I'm sorry if I didn't do that yet. So I'll ask anybody if there's any members of the public that would like to speak on this. No, I appreciate that very, very, very much. So, I have some thoughts on this. Emmett, I've heard the beginning of yours, so I'm going to go to Daniel and come back to you. What are we thinking here?
This is new, so I'm still taking it in, so I'll come back.
Okay. Do you want to expand further, Emmett?
I do want a little clarification on the, if you're a year without a permit, the fine is $10,000 a day. Is that?
Well, it's a process to go through.
If we were to take it to court,
so it's not
what we could do, but we haven't assessed that.
Okay. It just doesn't flip a switch.
No. Okay. I mean, if we were to file this with the Superior Court, we could add that in.
Okay.
You know, I can share some thoughts I had hearing all of this and then come back to you because you have a strong line that I shared in part. And part of it is this, is that, I mean, I'm in a business too, and I've had ups and downs in finances in my life. And I understand that that happens. But in a circumstance like this, this is a debt that's been repeatedly made, you've been repeatedly made aware of over a year and a half. And now we get to this point where we get an abatement order. There was a history of missed appointments and communications going on for about a year, and where staff's working in good faith. And it's my understanding that before it comes up to us for what happened in October, they have a lot of latitude to do a lot to work with you in a lot of ways. And there was a history of missed appointments and not much got done. And finally, we have an abatement order, which is extremely rare here, extremely rare to do what we did in October. And it was a 30 days abatement order, and it wasn't acted on within 30 days, but it did get some action eventually. But looking back, it was 18 months worth of communication for a normal cost of doing business to we had to go all the way to abatement order to get action. But I'm glad there's action. But now to come in and say, this payment plan, we want us to me, like, business, you have costs. Sometimes you have to take loans and do things like that. Since I feel like we're being asked to give the loan here in 2021 plan, and if you have a viable business, you get the loan from someone else and you make sure you pay the agencies what they're due. So that's on one side. On the other side, I won't shut a business down particularly, but I feel strongly like we're talking $6,000 on a business that's turning over. Had 18 months to plan, and we still have until April for an extension. Census is here. I don't want to hear it because I think we need a unanimous vote, or we don't have any. Last council with a board of five and only three sitting, I still believe we need three votes to approve something, not two out of three, but three out of the five seats. Is that correct? So
correct.
we better talk through whatever it is we want to do, and I'm very open to what you guys want. I will share that sort of the most I was willing to go in my mind was to not extend our time period and keep it until this shorter time period and see if there's something that could be done in that time period. That was something I was thinking, but with that as sort of my thoughts, Mr. Linder, I'll now turn it back to you.
That's where I'm.
Yeah.
Is that I don't think a payment plan is acceptable to me. Is that you've shown over the last 18 months that, you know, you're not paying. So why would there be any reason to think that you're going to be paying going ahead? You can go out and get a loan, but, you know, just like if it was anything else, whether it's taxes or regulatory fees, when you're paying your supplier that's giving you fuel, you can pay us. So that's my position.
And I'll ask a question about that, and maybe this is one also for council and staff. If we were to do something saying, no, we need to have it not by 30 days from our order date of October, which is long gone, but it has to be done within the original time period we've set. What about the fact that our order as it exists has cease and desist already, and that's an ongoing violation? Do we even have the authority to operate when they don't have this permit? I don't think we do, but I'll ask if there's a different viewpoint. So every day that operation continues without a permit, since 30 days from that October date, means the business is taking on significant calculated risk. Is that a fair way to say it?
So then I have a, so we should we just have them flip it to the court system and say you have to have, you know, you have to stop the business? I mean, it kind of already should have happened anyway. The way I'm hearing it is that the agency should have taken action and turned it over to the courts.
Well, because the order says you have jurisdiction until April, that's why we thought we should, before making a next decision, bring this request to your attention.
But you're requesting a payment plan. You're not requesting that it grew.
Mr. Azizi requested a payment plan. I'm just providing that information to you to make a decision.
But you don't have a recommendation.
Well, Mr. Guth said maybe to get the $6,141 payment by April. That is a possibility. We do have a check for Mr. Azizi for the permit application, so we could process that check. And then if payments received for the outstanding amount, we could modify the order to state that.
So it's interesting. So when you're saying what you think is best, unless the three of us agree on a change, the way I see it is the existing order stands, which says that they, so it's in violation two separate ways. There's, it hasn't been paid in 30 days and it has, they're still operating after 30 days. So we have an opportunity to do nothing and that would be the condition. And if we can't agree, then that is what's what happens. And I don't think any of us are going to be too unhappy with that because that's where we started. Now the change in circumstances, now we're getting some traction here, but I can't see extending this period and going to payment plans. If there's a consensus, there's a possibility in my mind of saying, because we have different things. We have something that says that let me go back to our order that's being violated, and let me just, one of the things was to cease and desist by 30 days. And if I get, I'm going to have to find it here. What was our order's requirement on payment and by when originally? And I'm asking that out loud while I look for it, by 30 days.
They were supposed to cease operation and make these payments within 30 days.
And had they complied with that, then there would have been the inspection. And if it had passed, there would have been a normal processing of the permit and they'd be back on course. I'm going to bring this up for discussion. I'm almost suggesting it, but I want to hear it myself say it out loud, which is if we pulled back from our current time period is April 13th, I believe.
Yeah.
So if we pulled back 2 weeks from that, I don't want to do anything like say money has to be paid by the day that our authority ends. I have plenty enough time to make sure staff can handle it. We pulled back. So if we modified our order in only one way, don't modify it to say, we still have a cease and desist going. We still have a cease and desist going. But modify, because they have to do two things, cease and desist and then pay by a certain time, because then it goes to a whole other people. So I'm going to bring up for discussion that we'll extend the $6,000 that hasn't been paid to 2 weeks before April, not extending it within our past our current statutory to our current listed time, but not change the cease and desist, that's still in the order. And it's up to the business person to calculate how much risk they want to take with regard to that. These are the risks that, you know, it's up to the businessman, not to us. We've got a cease and desist going that's in violation and there's an existing abatement order. But I don't know if that actually gets them anything. They're still violating the order. Thinking we could just make it clear that we've considered it. The other thing though is that the staff and maybe this council, I'm assuming that you've received that partial payment, the permit application fee. Have you viewed that as received, or is that being held because it's only a portion?
Being held because it was only one of the conditions. So we wanted to wait till the outcome of today to know whether or not to take in that payment.
Hearing that, starting to come around to you, I think I heard you express is, I'm sorry, but you've got stuff paid. It would be prudent to do it as quickly as possible because the business is taking risk by violating this until April 15th, and it's something functional. And I've been on this board a long time. We've never had a circumstance like this before. I've never this way before. The way we did in October, we've never had someone go so long without paying. And it's not someone who came in and told us at the initial hearing that they had problems and talked with us or had talked with staff that they could relay. It, as far as the record showed, someone who responds extremely. It's clear that what we did last October is unusual, and I do appreciate that you're here now, but I still think as a business person, there's got to be a way for business to work this out within the things we've given them previously. I don't know if I'm making sense the way I'm saying.
Business have to pay its bills.
Yes, absolutely. If you'd like to say something, please.
I don't think I've always been this. Well, it's COVID-19, and I live a lot of employees. I live 2 hours away from here. So I was driving by myself until I was able to get employees, steady employees, but I was able. So all those times, there's no employee, I was driving by myself, and then getting out late and leave late.
I appreciate what you're saying. I would have viewed the monies due that were being asked to be delayed differently if they had been solely penalties, interest, and late fees, and not like the principal due. And although a significant portion, $2,000, is our penalties and late fees, because you skipped a whole year of the $4,000 annual fee, I've lost my possible sympathetic viewpoint for those $2,000 of fees, which maybe I could have seen putting on a delay, because we went a year, you avoided an annual fee for 2023, and now we're here in 2024, and I just said.
Well, and also the communication, I mean, I'd be sympathetic if at least you were returning emails and phone calls and showing up when you promised you were going to show and things, and not just, in my view, wasting staff time. And so that was disrespectful. I don't have sympathy. I have a lack of sympathy of thinking that what I'm hearing from you is going to happen. And all of 23 was not COVID. All of 23 was not COVID. Businesses were back in place. People were working. I mean, you're still getting delivery. You were still getting deliveries of fuel. They had staff that went out and monitored your operations, and it was active, and you were selling product. They tried to get a hold of you. You were not on site, and so they called you, so you were not on site all the time. Mm-hmm. And there were times that, I have, anyway, that's my look at it. I do not have a problem, though, with letting it play out until April 13th, but saying that 2 weeks prior, all monies have to be paid. I would like to know what happens after April 13th. If the money is not paid and cleared from the bank, then what is the next step?
It's an interesting thing. So I have a question. Since I'm going to violate the order anyway, and then Reed, this is going to you, counsel. If I originally talked about, like, perhaps putting into a modified order that now will ask for all the money has to be before 2 weeks before April 13th. But since I'm of no mind to modify the cease and desist, cease operations, because there is no permit. And although we could modify our order to say, no longer say cease and desist, doesn't mean it's an authorized operation because there's still no permit. What authority do we have if we as a board now are talking about, well, we're trying to see if this person can, the business can come up with complete resolution before our April 13th end date or 2 weeks before. As long as it's with us, we have full control. So we could, for example, not take any further action and see what happens between now and April. And if it all gets paid off, what happens if full compliance comes to the conditions on the abatement order prior to April 13th? Can you explain to us what happens procedurally at that point if everything is met?
I think it's done. They've complied with the order.
And Reed, is that right that the order just was issued, it was complied with? Is there any follow-up paperwork, or is it just evaporate, or how does that work? You're muted.
I muted myself when I was unmuted. I apologize. If the conditional order is complied with, you know, it sort of dissolves, right? It's not needed anymore, or rather the consequence of it would never come to pass. So if in this instance, the respondent paid both of those things owed by that timeline, then it would be the discretion of this hearing body to sort of conclude the matter, right? He's met the directives of MBARD. And if this is to the satisfaction of the hearing board, you can simply say, you know, as the court will sometimes do, this matter is off calendar, right? There's nothing there anymore. It's been mooted.
Oh, it's interesting because there's still this issue that the order's been violated on a daily basis since November 13th, and it's continued to be violated. So I've kind of got a thought, which is I'm of a mind not to modify the order. I think the best way to encourage payment in compliance with these delays, but still get it done, is to not agree to extend out to pass to a later date. But we have what's our scheduled April hearing date? Because I don't want to promise anything because we have to take an action to do it, but I could share that I would be of a mind that if this order was complied with on the financial side, and in advance of our April meeting, which is, I think, the first Friday, is it the 9th or something, or 12th? The 12th before the 13th. There was a report to that meeting that there had been enough time for all the payments to be done, the inspection had passed, the permit was going to issue. And I can't promise this, but I would be in mind, in my own mind at that time, to not worry about further action on these months of a violating the cease and desist, as long as we get to the right point. You know what I mean? We're trying. On the one hand, I mean, we want to get everybody back together, but we have certain responsibilities. So as long as this permit was I don't know how long it takes to issue after all this is going to take, but if you were able to report the application was in, the fees have been paid, the inspection was done, because the inspection has been done, and it's going to, and all the fees are in, at that meeting, we could have a report back, and then I'd be able to mind if I've got the authority to do so. And I think Reed will have to let us know that whether or not we have to make a decision on that. I'd be willing to look into foregoing any concern about the violation since November 13th of the cease and desist if we just get this resolved within this time period prior to that April meeting. But in the meantime, the business person has to understand that they're in violation of this order in two separate ways, and nothing is promised to them. There's a risk that they're taking. The best way to do it is to resolve it immediately. But I'd like to hear a report back.
Well, let's hear
no later than April.
What Reed thinks about operating in violation, basically, what we're doing.
Yeah. So obviously, it's, I think, a good description of it is it's a calculated choice, right? There's risks that people take when you operate. It's pretty standard, whether it's a city rule, a county rule, or a district rule, that when you're violating something, you accrue daily penalties for each day that violation persists when you've been advised it shouldn't. So the board can, and any enforcing body can, use both the initial act of the violation plus its continuation as a way to kind of raise penalties up in a manner to encourage compliance. It can also waive penalties and not collect penalties in its discretion if it determines that is in the better course of the district's business as to what the goal of the district is. So it is a violation to continue to operate. That's pretty standard across government enforcement and rules and interpretations. So if they do continue operating, but they do satisfy this particular conditional order, it's within the hearing board's discretion to determine, are you going to let that resolve the matter? But I think it's good that you're putting this on the record today to note that this is an outstanding item associated with this case, because it isn't called out in the order. And that could be something perhaps for future cases, although these are very infrequent. But to note that when somebody's in violation of a rule, we could even add a different, you know, it would be part five here that just says for each violation, you know, this person will be accruing X, Y, Z. I think the law provides that already, but it'd be a good place to place it in terms of calling it out and making this a known issue for anyone in the future.
Thank you for that. You've heard of it.
You know, I like to see small businesses succeed. And I think that we just leave it to, in my opinion, we just leave it to April and hopefully he could do something to raise the money. And if not, I think then we'll move on to the next loan. That's out of our hands.
I appreciate that. And I'm also thinking that when you have competing interests in a business with financial concerns, not giving this relief here will this issue. I think that the respondent has to understand that they've been patient since November 13th and that there's risks that have been associated that could be realized and could raise themselves up. I think I've made it clear what my general feeling is that this all, to me, our way to really work with this business person is to say, we'll entertain the idea at our April meeting of waiving all the possibly accrued fees for this violation if you just get it done well in advance of that April meeting and we can see that it's all done. Without us changing our order in any way.
Okay.
Without changing our order in any way, we'll say that it may not seem like it, but that is working with you.
Yeah.
It really is. And I feel like the most encouraging way, the best way we can encourage you to come into compliance is to not extend this date. I'm leery of breaking it up into small chunks, then it just becomes a potential.
Well, yeah, then we do what happens if the third payment's not.
Yeah. So I appreciate that you're here and I wish you success in your business. But I will ask for motions in a minute, but I am open to not having any motion to modify our order. And I think there's plenty of testimony on the record here in front of you about what we're looking for. And what risks, what kind of risky position you're in already, but also we would like you to succeed. So I wanted to ask counsel one last question, well, maybe not one last, but another. given that this was a hearing to consider a modified order based on a request from respondent, is it appropriate that if it turns out we make no motion and take no action, is that an appropriate way in your eyes? Or do we have to make a motion to not modify the order? Or can we just not? Is it appropriate procedurally to just, if no motion comes, that's enough? Hard to hear you when you're muted.
I know. I was just reviewing the agenda one last time here, and I'm just wanting to make sure that I have the right one opened, which of course I can't find it. Maybe staff could share their screen with an open copy of the agenda because I closed it and now I cannot relocate it. I apologize.
Okay.
Got meeting host invitations galore, but no, there it is.
Did we certainly have the opportunity to have someone make a motion that says that we move not to modify the order?
No, I like the motion that we don't modify our original one.
Is there a second?
Second.
Can I ask a friendly amendment that we add and retain the original order? I know that sounds duplicative, but just to be
clear. Yes.
Is second okay with
second.
That? The motion was to not
modify our original order
and to retain the original order as is. And there's a second from Mr. Dodge. Reed, is that an appropriate motion here for you? See your head nodding, but I don't hear you.
Oh, yes, I said yes. Sorry, it just took me a moment to find it. It's just it's an opportunity. So you could skin this cat half dozen ways. That works just as well.
Okay. Ask for a roll call, please.
Director Linder?
Here. First, yes.
Thank you. Director Dodd?
Yes.
Chair Fu?
Yes.
Approved unanimously. Motion.
Good.
Well, thank you for being here.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. I'll be able to see you.
Yeah.
Thanks so much.
Thanks to staff. And I'm going to adjourn the meeting. I get to.
Yeah, we can adjourn. I'm sorry.
If you have business, I can withdraw the adjournment.
I do not.
Okay, I'll adjourn the meeting.
Thank you.